Welcome back, everyone. I'm Brad Wolverton, the host of Sports Scholarship Stories and a longtime college sports journalist. A few years ago, I wrote a piece called The Myth of the Sports Scholarship. And since then, I've spoken to hundreds of NCAA athletes and coaches about the things colleges look for in scholarship athletes. My goal with this show is to share insights I've learned and to introduce you to some of the people I've met along the way, with the hope of helping your family land some of the millions of dollars NCAA programs hand out every year. On today's show, I'm excited to bring you part two of my conversation with Rene Lopez, a former college coach, author, and athletic recruiting expert. Lots of you sent me nice notes after listening to part one of my conversation with Coach Rene, and I'm sure you're going to love today's episode just as much. I started by flipping the script, asking Coach Rene to put herself in the shoes of a recruited athlete, sharing the 2 to 3 best ways to get a coach's attention. Rene spent 14 years coaching college soccer, and on today's show, she explains how many hours coaches work and how she managed dozens of players on her team and hundreds more in the recruiting pipeline, and what characteristics she looked for in recruited athletes. She describes the ways coaches can show interest in you or your kid, even when NCAA recruiting rules prevent them from reaching out to you. She explains how long the recruiting process typically takes and how you should prepare for it. She details the quickest ways to turn a coach off from recruiting you, and she gives step-by-step examples of how to talk with coaches about money, one of the hardest things you have to do as a recruited athlete. And spoiler alert, she gives some pretty radical advice, suggesting that you should never, ever ask coaches specifically about a sports scholarship. Instead, you should ask more generally about the financial picture for you or your kid, since the money colleges have available often comes from a variety of places. She has a wealth of insights for you and your family, so let's get to it. Here's part two of my conversation with Coach Rene. If you're a kid looking to get a coach's attention, what are the best ways to do that? Tell me like 2 or 3 things that you think are important for kids to make sure that they do.
Well, obviously, sending the emails and sending schedules, and you want to always have a quote-unquote appetizer video. You know, I always joke about it saying, what does chicken teriyaki and recruiting have to do with each other? And people always say, what? I was like, you went into the food court to get a salad. And then this chicken teriyaki was there being sampled. And all of a sudden, you're in the chicken teriyaki line, you know, and that happens to everybody, right? Get suckered in. And that's the idea, is you want to send an appetizer video for a reason why they want to come out to watch you play again. And not just what they've seen on film, but to get out to watch you play live. Because the reality is they want to see you live. They want to see their teammates, your coaches, parents, all those things that a video doesn't show. The other part is when you go to an event like that, or you're actually going to be at their camp, that's going to be helpful. Also do something that's going to make yourself stand out. It may be that you wear a bright orange headband. It may be that I always have bright green cleats, whatever. Insert whatever it is. Have something that makes you stand out and put that in your email when you send it to them prior to the camp and saying, hey, I always have bright orange socks. And they're going to remember that. Now, you have to wear bright orange socks for every day of the camp because they remember you are. But the fact is, if you send those emails, especially prior to their camps, and you send multiple emails, even if the coach can't respond, guess what? Coaches are getting those emails. And oftentimes you'll hear this. I hear this all the time in our group. The coach walked up to me and I figured out exactly who I was because I had included something in my email about them. And they're like, oh, you're so-and-so. You've been emailing us. And we haven't been able to respond, but you've been emailing us. And it's like, oh, and then the kid's like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. But they may have not been getting response from the coach because NCAA rules were prohibiting it. But so I think the idea of being able to stand out in that kind of environment. The other part is good grades always help. I can tell you, if your grades are not good, it makes coaches just want to delete you because they have hundreds of kids email them every single week. If I'm going to choose from a 2.5 kid or a 3.8 kid, same abilities, why am I going to choose the 2.5 kid? That kid and I are going to probably have some issues. I'm going to probably have to babysit them, make sure they're going to class, doing all the right things academically. So prove to a coach before you even set foot on their campus that you have academics as a priority, and really, really important to make sure of that. So you want to make a coach's job easier, not more difficult, because they typically work 80, 90 hours a week. That's the life of a coach, especially in season. And so you want to make everything possible to be able to help them. So your emails being detailed and information, I wear this jersey number, not just, hey, I play on this team. Tell me the color of my jerseys. Hey, we usually wear reds or we wear whites. Okay. When I walk into a field and I say, oh, number 16, and they're either red or white. Oh, this team's in red. Here you go. Or, oh, I'm always the kid that has the whatever, orange cleats, whatever. Something like that, where it's something that they know who you are. Maybe you wear a braid in your hair all the time. That's all you ever wear. And I can find you instantly. And that's what we want to make sure of, that we're trying to set ourselves apart. And more importantly, this is the one that is a huge thing people miss all the time. You go to their camp, or they come to watch you play, or you go on to campus and meet with a coach. Send a thank you note. If you had a meeting with them one-on-one in their office, it should be a handwritten thank you note. If a college coach gets one of these a month, it's a ton. It doesn't happen. You will be remembered if you send that thank you note handwritten. I always say, bring them with you. Write it in the parking lot before you even leave campus. Bring a stamp. Find the local Dropbox. Mail it before you even leave campus. Because now they're going to get it quicker. You can still send an email thank you, but trust me, there is huge power in a handwritten thank you note to a college coach. Now, do you have to do that after every single time they come watch you play? No. Send an email after as a follow-up. Thank you for coming. But if you did a one-on-one meeting with them and you sent a thank you note to their admissions person you met with, you met with some of their athletic trainers, whoever else you met with, you sent handwritten notes, they will remember you. And guess what? You'll often walk into their coaches' offices a few months down the road, or even years down the road, and they have them pinned up on their bulletin boards. And maybe 2 years, 3 years later, because they don't get them very often. There is huge power in a handwritten thank you note. You will stand out and really drive things home of, oh, that's a different type of kid.
That's definitely one way to stand out. You don't even need to buy a certain color pair of cleats or whatever. If you do those little things, and I think it's a personalized touch, it's memorable. But you mentioned this before, and it sort of made me wonder. The NCAA has rules about when coaches can and can't contact recruits, and they differ in Division I and II. This might be a dumb question, but if you're starting your recruiting process in eighth, ninth grade, when in some cases, coaches aren't even allowed to respond to you, how do you know if they're interested or if you're just wasting your time?
In those times where they can't respond, they can acknowledge your email by sending a request for you to complete a recruiting questionnaire. And you may get this request back three different times. They're not actually asking you to fill out the questionnaire four times. They're acknowledging your email is what they're doing. And they could also send you a camp invite that is allowed, even if you are a freshman in high school, even if the coach is not allowed to speak with you about recruiting specifically. They can also send you this. It's a little verbiage. You'll see it's the same exact paragraph from the NCAA. Per NCAA rules, we are not allowed to have contact. And it's this little verbiage. Once you get one, you'll see that it's the exact same verbiage from everyone else. They're acknowledging your email without acknowledging it. They can't do anything more, but they're acknowledging they got it. And I think the cool part is you'll start to see that they show up to events when you keep inviting them, and they are getting your email. Make sure you know the rules, and we can download those for free. The basic rules of what a college coach can do, and make sure that you understand those things. And I think it's important during the process. That's why we start the process freshman and sophomore year, because hopefully by the time you're end of your sophomore year, you kind of know what you want, whether I want a big school, small school, local, or do I want to go far away? Do I want a big city? Do I want not? Because you've hopefully done some research already and hopefully been on some college campus. Again, D3, NAI, JUCOs, you can do this really easily and even meet with those coaches. And Division I, Division II, as you kind of start to go into your junior year and senior year, depending on sports, different sports have different things for Division I. But the idea of you can really start to take those steps and seeing who's really interested in not, things will kick into high gear from like May until like October, November, going into your junior year is when things really kick into high gear for a lot of kids. And you will not always get a response. And I always tell kids, don't panic. If it's before the trigger date and you're not getting a response, it's okay. Just keep sending emails. Because again, you go to their camp, they're going to start to know who you are and be able to build a relationship with them. And that's what they're looking to do. Is they're, again, you're dating a lot of people and you're trying to figure out what's the right fit.
So you were a college coach for 14 years. It sounds like the recruiting process back then wasn't quite as crazy as it is now. But how did you as a coach keep up with all these emails and all the busyness around recruiting? Obviously, you're alluding to the 80 to 90 hour weeks, but Did you have ways of quickly narrowing your focus on a small group of kids so you wouldn't feel overwhelmed trying to stay in touch with everyone?
Obviously, you know, GPA is something that always dictated things for me. If I knew that it's going to stretch for you to get accepted to college, I'm not spending my time there. I'm not wasting my time. It's a lot of time to invest in. You know, we're building relationships with hundreds of kids and across different graduation years. So it's not just, you know, as a college, college soccer coach is what I coach. I may have 25 to 30 players that are in front of me. That's my current team. But I'm building relationships with multiple kids over different graduation years, depending on what school I was at and what the regulations were. You're dealing with literally hundreds of kids and hundreds of emails. So you have to have a great assistant. I can tell you that's a huge part of it. But the idea was, GPA was an easy one for me of crossing off, what I needed. And I knew what my school required. The also part of it is Dear Coach or Dear Coach Lopez. Totally different when they send an email or explanation about why you're interested in my school versus a blanket form letter that you copied and pasted to every single college coach. It shows the difference of what level of interest you actually have. Hey, coach, I did your virtual tour and I really liked X, Y, and Z. And I believe that your academic programs in nursing or in, elementary education looks like a good fit for me. That versus, dear coach, I want to play college soccer. It's a completely different tone. And I think the key is those personalized emails can be really, really helpful in setting you apart and communication of instantly give me the things I need. Give me my transcripts. Give me a copy of your test scores if you have them already. Give me information of here's video. Here's my tournament I'm playing at. Do things that are over the top and understanding of giving them information so they're not having to chase it down themselves. And so, people always say, here's a link to my schedule. No. Copy and paste it for them. Don't make them have to log into some system to be able to find it. Give a list. Hey, I'll be at Field 4 at 3 p.m. today, and I'm wearing jersey number 15, and we're going to be in blue. Awesome. You made my job easier. Also making sure that in your subject line, always, always put class of and put 2025, 2026, whatever you are. Put it in there and then put a comma and then put your GPA. It's over a 3.0, put 3.5, 4.2, whatever it is. And we all know there's different systems. We all know that. So don't panic about that. People are like, yeah, I'm a 4.8. Okay. Coaches know and understand. They understand how that goes. So don't worry about it. But so putting that in your subject line. And then if it's a tournament that you're specifically wanting them to come to, put the name of that tournament in the subject line. So if it's this showcase, let's say it's at the Disney showcase, pretty much so many sports play at the Disney showcase in wide world. And say, hey, we're going to get a Disney showcase. And that's, so I put class of 2025, comma, 3.9 GPA, comma, Disney showcase schedule. Now, dear Coach Lopez, always use their last name. Do not assume their first name. And then information about their school, why I'm interested. Here's my GPA. Here's a copy of my transcripts. Here's my video. All of this, what I'm telling you, or someone be sitting here going overwhelmed. All of this information is in our book as well as on our website where you can download for free. We have a special report, Strategies to Email a College Coach. And you can download it for free at rlopezcoaching.com. And it will give you a bunch of information under our store, but it is for free. And also as well as NCAA Division I basic rules, as well as the Division II and Division III basic rules as well.
For sure. I'll make sure I link to all those so people can get easy access to them. So emailing and updating all these coaches sounds like a ton of work for kids, especially if you're trying to say things that make you stand out, which obviously requires a lot of extra research, finding ways to show your interest. An idea you've talked about, which I really like, is email one coach every night for 1 month. So like take 20, 30 minutes, investigate a school, find out some interesting things, find how you fit into their system or something that's, memorable for their coach. You can do this starting as a freshman or a sophomore, do it on breaks, do a couple of schools a day. I just really like that.
How else can you tackle this very challenging thing alongside being a great athlete and getting better in your sport, being a great student and getting better in school? It's just a lot of work. So how can you find ways like this to minimize what you put in, but get the maximum return on it?
Well, I think first and foremost, you hit on it. It is time consuming and making sure, especially now we got kids coming up on Christmas break, you are going to have some downtime. Make sure that you're spending some time in doing this. But But the idea is being able to break into small pieces, bite-sized pieces. And, you know, I'm going to focus on three schools this week. I'm going to really make sure that I reach out to these three schools. And I'm going to start early in this process. If you wait until your late junior year, early senior year, you're going to panic. And it's going to be a lot more work. It's going to be a lot more stressful. As opposed to if we start researching schools our freshman and sophomore years, just kind of get a feel for things, go to a campus. It's so much more chill. It's so much easier. It's so much more relaxed. And you will not be as stressed out. I promise you that. Second of all, I always encourage you to also make sure that you are following their programs on social media. Follow them on Instagram, especially. A lot of schools will do a day in the life of student athletes where one of their student athletes will take over their Instagram. And it's great. Mention something about that in there because it's really easy to go find. You can go find it and like watch it for 3 minutes. You're like, oh, I really loved when so-and-so did a day in the life, show when she went to class, show when she went to practice or went to the training room or whatever. Or I loved when, you know, Bobby went and showcased him doing community service. Follow them on Instagram or Twitter. You'll see some things that will be really quick for you to grab and relate to the coach. And then also you will see over time what the interest levels of coaches have shown of you. An interest level. You know, the reality is some schools are just not going to watch you. They may not need your position. And that's heartbreaking sometimes. But the fact of the matter is, you're looking for that right fit where a coach really wants you, not where you're begging to be on the team. And we want to make sure that you are finding the right fit. Just like dating, you're going to date a lot of people, but find the person you want to marry. That's the key.
You mentioned this earlier. One of my favorite posts that you've written is called 13 Questions to Ask a College Coach. What are some of your favorite questions that you think students and families should be thinking about?
Well, I think obviously understanding who the coach is and what their philosophy is really key. And how do you guys manage what's a typical week like versus what's a typical year like? So you kind of know when your downtimes are going to be and when they're not, which is usually very surprising to most kids. Understanding how many study hall hours they're going to be having and what expectations they have off of the field or court or pool or whatever sport they are. And realizing what that looks like of their downtimes and when it's not. Being a student athlete is not easy. I don't care what level you play at. It's very challenging. You need to be self-disciplined and motivated and be organized as well as being a student. But I think the other part is really asking them something that a lot of people are dying to know, but they don't know how to ask it. Coach, what role do you see me in as a freshman versus coach, what role do you see me in as a junior? Because that answer will be very, very important to your process. And most coaches are not going to tell you you're going to start. I want to be very clear of that. And coach that's like, oh, you're a starter for us? Get a little cautious of that because they cannot predict that. And most coaches are not going to let that be a something that, because it wasn't one motivation you have to be fit and do all the right things, right? The fact is most coaches are going to say, hey, it can be an impact for us. And we see you being a huge impact. We see you being a small impact. You know, during your freshman year, but by the time you're a junior, we expect you to be a leader for this team and be able to have those conversations. I think asking about community service is really key. Does your team hang out together when they're not actually at practice? Like, that's a huge thing. What's the team culture? What's the priorities in terms of team culture? And be able to ask some of those questions as well to the student athletes itself. And then a really, really, really key part, again, we talk about academic fit, asking the coach, I am thinking about majoring in this. Will there be any conflicts in me choosing this major? At some schools, you will find their internships and clinicals and, you know, student teaching, things like that may disrupt the process. You may not be able to play for 4 years. And so you need to know that going in. Now, the answer at one school may not be the same answer at another school. And I want to be very clear that I have this question. Oh gosh, I get this at least once a week. Can I do pre-med or can I do nursing and be a college athlete? Yes, at some schools, not all schools will. And yes, in some sports, because of the timelines of when they have their clinicals. So you need to know and understand what those questions are. So I always say, look at the roster and see, hey, are any other kids in your major who are in the same season of sports? So like, okay, maybe there aren't any other women's soccer players or volleyball players who are in this specific program, but you see some of the men's soccer players are. Okay. And having this conversation with the coach. Coach, can I talk with this kid who's doing it and managing this major? And like, how are they managing? Especially when they're like juniors, they'll be able to tell you, you know, how it really is. And be able to kind of have those conversations. So I think that is really, really important that we ask some of those questions before we fall in love with the school. And very, very important, if that coach leaves is this still the right school for you academically, socially, and financially? The transfer portal is insane right now. A lot of it having to do with COVID and shutdowns, people never seeing campuses and never visiting, all those things. But the fact is, we need to make sure that we're making the right choice for the school, whether athletics pans out for you or not. This is still the right fit for you academically. And that you're not just going to the school because the coach recruited me, that you're going to school because it's a good fit. And you would go there even if you broke your leg or tore your ACL.
Your book is called Looking for a Full Ride. But we both know that not many kids get a full ride. One of the hardest things for kids and parents to have honest conversations about is money. And in the, whether it's in their own household or in talking to coaches about money. I would love your thoughts on how to bring this issue up with coaches and how to maximize the money you get with your sports scholarship.
Well, first and foremost, I tell everyone, it is not a negotiation. Let's start there. There are a lot of misconceptions that are out there that you're negotiating. This is not a job. This is not a negotiation of, I'm going to take the salary or not. Let me be very clear on that. Second, understanding the limitations are within your sport. Is your sport a head count sport or an equivalency sport? We describe all of that in Looking for a Full Ride, so you can understand a little bit what that looks like. If it is an equivalency sport, most time you will be getting more academic scholarship money than you are athletic. And Division III, you cannot receive any athletic money. The coaches are not even involved in financial packaging. They're not allowed to be involved in financial packaging. But again, that idea of making sure that you have done the financial pre-read, you've done the net price calculator, those are all steps to kind of help you understand where things are. And now you're like, okay, I need to know an answer. Okay. They're not going to make an offer if they don't feel comfortable saying, we're ready to have you in our team. They may not give you an offer until they also know who you are in terms of a character. Some people say, well, I don't want to go spend the money to go make a visit unless they're offering me. Well, part of them deciding if they're offering you is getting to know you as a person. And are you a kid who's going to make bad choices on a Saturday night on a college campus where mom and dad may not be around? And guess what? Anytime you go onto a college campus and you are staying overnight with a college team, that player will report back to their coach. It is going to happen. Anything you say and do will get back to the coach. So make your choices wisely. Again, the coaches may be in a situation where they are in the process of offering or hearing back from other people. The timeline you want is not necessarily the timeline it's going to happen. So they may be in conversations with you, but they have four offers out and they don't expect all four of them to accept. They're waiting for the answers though from X, Y, and Z. So you may want an answer, but they may not be able to provide that answer. You say, well, why don't they just offer it out to all of us? They have a limited amount of money they can offer out to student athletes. So it is not like, oh, I'll just offer out to everyone like an academic scholarship of like, oh, anyone who meets these criteria automatically gets an academic scholarship. That's not how it works in athletic money. They have a limited budget. And that limited budget is across their entire team. It is not that, you know, when you see these equivalencies and all those things that are out there is, okay, 14 scholarships at Division I for women's soccer are available if they're fully funded. Not all programs are fully funded. 14 full scholarships. That means 14 scholarships in an equivalency sport. So it actually can be spread out across the entire team. Well, you may have 30 players on a team, we're going to make this math really easy. Let's just say we have 28. If I want to give everyone the same amount of scholarship, I'd give everyone a half scholarship. And so some schools would allow academic scholarships stacked on top of athletic money and maybe some financial aid. But not every coach is going to want to do that where they put half a scholarship into every kid. Instead, some kids on a full, some kids on zero, some kids on 30%, 50%, all those things. And that amount of money, those 14 full scholarships, again, I'm speaking about women's soccer Division I, if it's a fully funded program, and those, that 14 scholarships is across the entire team. It's not every year they get 14 scholarships. It's across the entire team. And every level of division and every sport has their own mix. But I will tell you, if money is an issue for your family, pursue the NAI as well as junior colleges and Division IIs. Too many people think the money's all in Division I. There are a lot of opportunities that are there. And there are a lot of great financial packages that we put together for Division IIIs as well, where it's a good academic package or leadership, you know, scholarships, things like that. But the key part is, if a coach is ready to make you an offer, you keep asking this question, coach, what's the next step? Coach, what's the next step? And you're needing to kind of move forward because you have pressure from somewhere else. coach, I have pressure for another school to make a decision. You've already asked them what's the next step. So hopefully you've done all you need to. And the conversation is, what can we discuss of the financial package as I can make a decision? Now, that is not something you send in your first three emails to a coach. It is the coach has shown a ton of interest. You've been dating this coach, and I don't mean that in the wrong way, but dating the school and getting to know them. They're getting to know you. They are showing constant interest in you. This is not a random you send an email. This is a conversation that happens on the phone. And coach, we'd love to make some decisions very soon, but we need to kind of see financial picture. Notice I'm not saying athletic scholarship money. You're saying financial picture, because the reality is a lot of your money is going to come from hopefully from academic scholarships, maybe some financial aid. Maybe there's a student leadership scholarship. Maybe there's, you know, a specific, you know, your major, maybe a business major. This is what they have. But those are actually really important to have. Notice my terms here. Financial picture, not what athletic money are you giving me? Because the coach may have their hands tied. They may only have graduated out two players and they already offered up those two scholarships and they may not be able to actually have athletic money available for you. This is why 20 to 30 schools, 5 to 8 each level. And this is why we go through this process over time. And also showing that our grades are good. So I don't have to worry about it. Hey, you're going to qualify for this academic scholarship we know of. Can this college also stack those academic plus athletics? Not all schools can, but a majority of them do, especially at the NAI, D2, and those kind of levels. Some Division I's will as well, but a lot of people dismiss those schools and they don't realize there's a lot of money at junior colleges, especially if you find the right fit. Not all junior colleges have athletic money, but a lot of them do. And if they do, there's a lot there.
This is really interesting. I've done a lot of research on this as well in terms of looking at the amount of money that programs actually do spend up to what they're allowed to spend. And the research that I did showed that many schools don't fully fund their programs. It's not their fault. They may not have the money. They may be at a level of school that's spending more in another area where they think they can have national success. And they just, it's not personal. That's the other thing to keep in mind as a recruited yep. athlete is you may think that the coach is like purposely withholding information, but maybe they just don't have the money. Maybe they don't, as you suggested, they haven't gotten decisions from other people who maybe are a little more of a priority than you. But if you've spread your chips out, so to speak, then you have a better chance in the end of getting a kind of offer that's positive for your family.
Absolutely. I think that's the really key is understanding. Trust me, the coaches want more athletic money. They do. I don't ask any coach in America. Everyone will say, yes, please. Because they know they can just get that next player who will just help change their program. I had 3 All-Americans that played for me. They were 3 All-Americans in college. None of them are on full rides for athletics. I think that's as telling as it gets. They were on good financial packages put together, but not full rides for athletics. I think that's important for you to know. And the key part is, you know, sending an email to a college coach saying, what scholarship money are you going to give me? That doesn't go over well. You got to build a relationship first. And they are always managing something and they are always trying to figure out the best way to spread out their scholarship dollars. And again, the best thing you can do is be a good student. You're going to make coach's job a 1,000 times easier if your grades are good. So to all the freshmen and sophomores, especially, get good grades. Your freshman and sophomore grades do matter. A lot of people dismiss them. A lot of people think they don't matter. The fact of the matter is, you're in a coach's office in, let's just say, December of your junior year. The only grades they're looking at are your freshman, sophomore year grades. And that can be a different conversation with a coach of, we can't take you, or, hey, this is your financial package. This is what it's going to be. And it's not going to be great. And making sure that you're also taking your tests early enough. You should be taking, as an athlete, you're going to take it the first initial test. You want to take it at least by the fall of your junior year. Do not listen to what's out there in a lot of podcasts and information blogs and everything that's saying, oh, it's okay, don't take a test. Take a test. It's important right now, I think, to keep your options open. Some schools are not testing and are using tests, and some schools are. Better to have it, not use it, versus the opposite. And here's the other part. When you're on that borderline of what academic scholarship you'll get, your test scores will help that in most colleges. So take a test. I know it's not fun. I know it's 4 hours of your life you want back. Take a test, retake a test, and get some test prep help as well, because that can literally be the difference of you getting $8,000 of academic scholarship money a year, or you getting $15,000 or $12,000 a year. Multiply that times four years. That's a lot of money. You can find all those information in our Facebook group. You can find our test prep experts, and there's a lot of them that are out there. I have two that I highly recommend and really support and encourage you guys. And they've had great results.
Absolutely. I think that that was a really nice addition to your group, is to add the people who do ACT, SAT sort of guidance and advice. They're really helpful. So I'm going to ask you one more question. And thank you so much for all the time you spent with us today, Coach Renee. If you had to boil this whole process down to one important takeaway for families, what would it be?
It is a marketing process to college coaches. It is not being on XYZ team. It is not hiring a recruiting service. It is not this coach calling for me. It is not this parent contacting me. It is a student athlete marketing themselves in the right ways and doing the work to find the right academic, athletic, social, and financial fit. And we walk through that whole entire process of looking for a fullride.com and really try to make sure that you find the right academic, athletic, social, financial fit. If you find those, you will be happy and you'll be in the transfer portal.
Thank you, Coach Renee. This has been terrific. You've lived up to all my expectations for what this call would be. And I can't wait to see what you have in store for next year. And good luck with your business.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you getting the word out for us.
And that's going to do it for this week. Big thanks to Coach Renee for taking so much time with us. And make sure you check out the show notes for info on how to buy our book. And if you're not already in our Facebook group, you should definitely check it out. I'll put a link to that as well. If you're enjoying the show, I'd love it if you shared it in your network. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. See you next time.